Everybody, welcome back to the No Shanks Given podcast. I'm your host, Corey. Today we have a great guest. His name is Blair Wheeler. He's the host of the Golf and Stuff podcast. He's also a fitness enthusiast, and he has some good information to give us beginner golfers and just information on life and golf as well. So stay tuned. And if you like this so far, please go ahead and subscribe and be on the lookout for more episodes. We're trying to release them every Friday. So stay tuned, guys.
So everybody, welcome to the No Shanks Given podcast. Guest today is Blair Wheeler. Awesome dude. You know, he has his own podcast called Golf and Stuff. If you haven't listened to it, I really, really recommend it. It's a really good podcast. He's also really good at golf. So Blair, thanks for joining. And I'm not going to talk about what you do. I think you probably do better at that than I would. So if you want to just give a quick just rundown of like every, because you do a lot. So everything you do real quick. For the listeners, if there's any out there right now.
Yeah, well, first, I'm a dad. So I'm a new dad of 10-week-old twins. You might hear them in the background. They're currently crying. So I'm a new dad, twins. I'm a husband. I have a real job. So I like to tell people, like, I'm just an average golfer like a lot of you guys. I work a full-time job. I have a family. I'm trying to figure out how to become better at the game of golf, become a more fitter, better version of myself, while not having as much time as an influencer or a club fitter or a PGA pro or even a professional golfer. So I'm a good golfer. That's untrue. I'm an 11 handicap, working on getting better. My swing is slowly improving thanks to my friend Alex Riggs, who is a co-host on my show. Talking about the tour, and so just an average golfer, average dude. I happen to have a lot of contacts and a lot of people that I know in the golf world that want to speak to me on my podcast and want to be a part of what I'm doing. So I'm just really lucky and really blessed in that regard.
Man, you say average. I feel like 11 is so far off for me. Man, I'm obviously I just started, but me and my buddies, the ones we play with, I don't think anyone's broken the 15 threshold. So 11. Man, you may think that's average. That's, dude, that'd be amazing if I could hit that. Yeah, man, kids, I hear you. I got two kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-month-old. So, man, I'm right there with you. That's my world and everything. It's just awesome to be able to fit golf into that for me. Same thing here, man. Work, got a full-time job, full-time life, got everything to go along with that. So, good. So how did you actually – so I've listened to Golf and Stuff since it started, but what really – drove you to start that? I know with the COVID times, a lot of people, you know, they find different avenues to express themselves. But for you, what truly had triggered for you to start a podcast?
I love podcasts first. Like I listen to every podcast under the sun from obviously Joe Rogan and some political ones because everybody's into politics these days. So conspiracy theories and true crime and all kinds of stuff. Obviously I listen to some golf podcasts too, CrossFit podcasts, but I really love podcasts. I think it's the future of media, rather than being, I mean, if you have a brain, you know that anything you see on Facebook or any news that you read from any mainstream news outlet is probably some clickbaity article that they're just trying to get you on their site to generate some ad revenue for their advertisers. So knowing that podcasting is still very new, I hopped into it. I had a small following before I got into being a golf influencer, and this isn't going to be video, but I'm using quotation fingers. And it just opened up a lot of doors for me from my past working at Hurley Nike as a global marketing manager. Just had a lot of contacts in different industries. And I thought, you know, like, I'm an average golfer. I can speak to the average person. Like, I'm a little better than most average golfers, I guess. But I can still speak to these people, to Scott Stallings, Evan Geiselman, who's a pro surfer, to whoever comes on the podcast as a normal golfer that's not there. Nobody's there talking about golf for an average golfer. Two pros, two PGA pros, whoever it is. And then taking the angle of fitness, which I'm very passionate about, nobody's telling that story of how fitness can better you as a person, better your golf game. They do it on the tour. They do it at TPI instructions and this and the other, but they don't, it's not really a thing talked about in the average golf circles. Like for the guys playing on Saturdays, just trying to win a skin off their buddies. Nobody really talks about it. So I just wanted to have an outlet for that and have an outlet to talk about the things I'm passionate about. And I named it Golf and Stuff because I didn't have a better name at the time. Like, it actually might change here shortly because I got a cease and desist. But yeah, so it might change shortly from Golf and Stuff to name TBD. But yeah, so that's kind of why I started. I wanted to have an outlet for myself to just talk about the things I'm passionate about.
Yeah, man, I think that's what really attracts a lot of people. Attracted me is this. It's so unique. You have this ability to come in and talk at a basic level, but then you have all these contacts. But then you also, like you said, you talk about a lot of broad topics. One that attracts me the most was the CrossFit. I mean, I coached CrossFit for 7.5 years. I competed at a lot of local comps. Obviously, my younger big head thought, you know, I'm going to go to regionals. That was a thing, right? At nowhere near that. But yeah, man, I think pivoting on that, going into the fitness realm, I think that's a big topic that no one talks about. I mean, I think you've mentioned a few times on your podcast, you look around, you see the guys in the course, they get out, you know, they bend over, touch their toes, swing a club 3 times, and they're off and going. There's no warm-up protocol, really. That's for the average golfer I see. You ask them what they do to improve their golf game fitness-wise, and no one really does it. Or they're doing, you know, I ride a bike, which is great, but there's not any focus to get better through fitness on golf. I see it's always, let's go to the range, hit more balls versus let's improve our fitness, which in turn will improve our golf game through distance, through just general maintenance of our bodies. So pivoting on that, what do you see from, obviously you CrossFit, has it translated to your golf game? Have you noticed anything, or were you fit beforehand before you started golf?
I've always been an athlete. I've always played, like growing up, I played every sport under the sun, including golf. Was always in the gym, was a total like gym rat as a kid and through college and stuff. And I served professionally. So I've always been an athlete. I've always been into fitness. But for me and CrossFit, it hasn't directly, I can't say it's directly impacted my golf, but I can say it's giving me more body awareness to know, like when I'm doing a virtual lesson with Alex, who's in Portugal right now, right? If I'm doing a virtual lesson with him and he's like, we need to get your body into this position, I can get my body there and I don't have to slow my swing down to 10% to do it. I can do it at like 60%, right? Just because I know from throwing stuff over my head, like from Olympic lifting or any CrossFit movement, I have the confidence that I can get my body there. So for me, CrossFit is just, and the reason why I love it is I think for an average golfer, for an average person, it's a great entryway to get into fitness that's not going to get you bored and not going to like make you flame out on it in a few weeks, right? Like my buddy Kevin is becoming one of my best friends, and he comes over to my house, and I'm building a home gym right now because of COVID. And he comes over to my house Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays and works out. He played Division I lacrosse and never was like a gym person, hated the gym, hated working out, and then started working out with me. And he told me the other day, he's like, I'm actually looking forward to the workouts because it's never the same. I always leave feeling better. And like middle of the day, I don't have a crash and feeling like I need to go take a nap. He's more energized, feels better, feels stronger. And we're only like 3 weeks into working out together.
That's amazing. That's a great story. Man, you said D1 lacrosse?
Yeah, he played D1 or lacrosse.
Never really. Wow, that's crazy. So working out with him, what has he noticed, hey, this is much harder? Because I feel like a lot of people that get into CrossFit, no matter what sport they come from, it's difficult. Yeah. It's hard. Because you hit that threshold, especially the lactic threshold workouts where it's just your muscles feel like the threshold. You're like, I can't keep going. The lactic acid buildup is just killing me. So it's interesting to see the perspective, but that's good to know.
Yeah. I mean, for him and for me too, like it's not about like when I was going to a gym and doing CrossFit competing and I wanted to beat every person in the gym, whatever. Right. Workout we were, whatever shooting right. we're doing. I'm just that person. I'm that competitive.
Yep.
But for him, it's more about he's coming in, he's getting a workout, he's doing it his pace with his weight. Stepping into my gym and doing like deadlifts at 315, right? Like I'm like, all right, Kev, like you're gonna do deadlifts at 95 pounds. That's all I'm letting you do until your form is correct. Like, and I'm not a coach. I'm not CrossFit. I'm not level one certified. I'm not certified in any capacity to give any fitness advice to anybody.
Right.
Put that out there, and I put it out there in my podcast all the time. If you want fitness advice from me, I'll tell you my personal opinion, but I advise you to talk to a professional.
Smart move.
but I don't want the liability. But for Kevin, I'm like, look, dude, like I know you're a dad. You live down the street from me. We're my friends. Come in. I'll teach you how to do the movements the way I was taught. I think it's as correct as it's going to be. There's obviously always room for improvement, but like we just need to make sure your form's correct, because when we do get up to going like 315, not 315, but like even 135, 155 pounds, up to 200 pounds, if your form's not correct, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed a lot on your Instagram, you do a lot of sandbag work, which I think is amazing. It's one of my favorite things to do just because it's an awkward object, which is more real life. But yeah, man, I agree with you. That's amazing. So looking at fitness as a whole, I mean, obviously you've been active your whole life. What personally do you think? So first of all, what's your favorite movement? I should say, if you had to pick one that you just had to do all the time every day, and you're like, okay, this will benefit golf and just my general health. What would you say that movement would be?
Man, I don't know if it would benefit golf, but I love like, I don't know if Olympic lifting benefits golf at all, but there's two movements. One's Olympic lift, one's a squat clean. I love the squat clean. I am not very good at it, but I love it because it's something I'm not good at, but I've seen progress in it. When I started doing CrossFit again, I took like a 3 or 4 year break in between like doing CrossFit and just doing other stuff. But when I started doing CrossFit again, it was a move that I could not figure out. I would power clean and then front squat.
Typical. Yeah. That's a very common.
Yeah. But we didn't, it was just when I was playing high school football or baseball or soccer and golf too in high school, we never squat clean. It was a power clean. It was the only one we did. So, and I know why. It's like harder and a little bit more dangerous. So I love a squat clean because I love to see the progress. Knowing from where I was, like I could not do a squat clean with 95 pounds when I started to do CrossFit again, like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now I can squat clean like 225.
Nice. Right.
So it's a big leap, right? And I love seeing that progress. And then as far as like accessory work and other stuff goes, I love toes to bar.
Toes to bar. Oh, that's like I hate toes to bar so much. I don't know why. I just have the rhythm for like the guys that just butterfly them together. Even when I was competing, man, that was like Achilles heel. That was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me too, like I just got a rack. I just bought a Rogue rack, and yeah. For Frick, whatever, how long we've been in COVID, 5 months. I wasn't going to the gym because my wife was pregnant and then gave birth and now postpartum. I don't think I need to go back to the gym because I get my programming online and this, that, and the other. But I just got a rack so I can finally do toes to bar again.
Yep.
So I'm just excited about being able to do toes to bar again.
That's awesome, man. And I like how you call out the Olympic lifts. I competed in Olympic weightlifting for a long time. You're right. They're complex, but I see it as the explosiveness from the Olympic lifts could definitely help your golf game in terms of hip movement. But I mean, that's remained to be, you have to do there's kinds of testing you do with that. But overall, I love the Olympic lifts. They're my favorite of all time. The snatch is my number one favorite movement. But yeah, that's, I mean, awesome. I think those are, I mean, you have a combination of a pull and a squat. So technically a push. I mean, it's a powerful movement. It's a complex movement. I think it definitely, if that was a one movement, or if you had to pick those two, that's a couple that you can run forever and probably be super fit. So
yeah. I mean, and I had this conversation with Scott Stallings when he was on my podcast, and I think he's going to be back on in a couple of weeks. But I asked him, I was like, what's your favorite workout? Like, what's the one? Because you look at the guys on tour, right? Very few of them, the ones that do CrossFit, very few of them are doing Olympic lifting of any kind. They're doing dumbbell work, sandbag work, Some barbell stuff, but more static, not like compound movements.
Yeah.
So like asking Scott, I was like, what's your favorite workout? And he instantly said dumbbell DT.
Really?
So, yeah. And he's like, I'll do a variation of dumbbell DT once a week.
Man, that's good. I guess because you're isolating the each side, so you see your imbalances there, which is good for golf. Plus DT is just fun. So I mean that's yeah. awesome.
And we did it when I went to Kiowa with him. I guess it was in May, I think. It was before my kids were born. So yeah, it was like May or June. When I went down there, we played golf in the morning and then we did a pod. We worked out and we did a variation of dumbbell DT, but it was like double dumbbell DT with 40-pound dumbbells. And then in between, we either had a sandbag carry or farmer's carry with the dumbbells. It was brutal.
And for those of you who don't know what DT is just it's a workout that is deemed a CrossFit hero workout because it's named after someone who's died in combat action. And it's 5 rounds for time of 12 deadlifts, 9 hang power cleans, and 6 push jerks. If you know what those movements are, look them up. It's an awesome workout. It definitely sucks. It'll get you good, especially if you underestimate it. So one really good workout, really, really good workout. It's good to see, especially dumbbells, man. Oh yeah. That's just dumbbell deadlifts get me. It seems like it'd be so much simpler, but the bar, or not bar path, but the path of movement's different. It just changes everything. So, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. So it's pivoting a little bit away from fitness, but even kind of staying in that realm. Is there a specific, obviously your dad, it's hard. I know it's hard for me, diet regime to stick to. Being a new dad, that was the hardest thing for me because you're tired. You're just exhausted. You do work out, but you're like, I just need something quick because the baby's crying and I need to do stuff. So, I mean, do you prescribe to anything or do you try to stick to a plan of some sort?
Yeah. So, I mean, my wife and I are extremely, extremely blessed that our kids sleep and are as good as they are. Because since we brought them home from the hospital, they've gone from sleeping in 3 to 4 hour chunks or 3 hour chunks to now they're sleeping in like 6 hour chunks, 5 to 6 hour chunks. So I'm like, I have a Whoop and not like 9 days out of 10, I'm in the yellow or green recovery on Whoop. And I mean, I take a ton of supplements, but I'm also like drinking wine or White Claw or whatever. Like I drink, have a drink like every other day, probably, if I had to guess.
That's a thing I think real quick on drinking. I think people feel like it's an all or nothing game. It's not this zero sum game. You can drink and enjoy yourself without going over the top and pick your choices wisely. Like wine and White Claw, those are great, right? And you could still, even if you have a beer or two, it's not going to kill you.
No. You know what? And I, like, my father-in-law is a good example of that. And I use him as an example on my podcast all the time. He grew up in like the 60s, 70s. And his fitness wasn't a thing then, right?
Right.
All his buddies are beer guts and whatever else, right? And growing up, my family too, like fitness was never a thing. So I look at my family now, I'm 30, and I look at some of my cousins that are older than me that I saw them when they're 30 or I saw them when they're like younger than me. And I'm like, holy crap, like you guys are pieces of lard. I don't. But for my father-in-law, like he just didn't grow up with fitness. He didn't grow up like prioritizing his health. And now to some capacity, but he's like, oh, I'm just going to eat better, quit drinking, quit smoking, and I'm gonna start going to the gym. I'm like, you're going to fail. Like 100%, you're not going to do it because, and not a knock on him and not a knock on anybody that says that, you're doing too much at once.
Right.
Take like, it's steps. You have to take baby steps to like make lifestyle changes, right? So, say, all right, well, I'm going to keep drinking. I'm going to keep smoking. I'm going to keep eating the way I am. I'm just going to incorporate going to the gym. So then at that point, you're at least counteracting one of those things. Then after you go to the gym for a little while, you're like, oh, well, I want to start feeling better in the mornings and not feeling as lethargic. Maybe I should change the way I eat. So then you change the way you eat, and then you're like, all right, well, why am I still feeling a little lethargic? Like, maybe I should stop smoking. Okay, stop smoking. And then drinking in moderation, it's not bad. It's just what it is.
Those are all good tips, man, because it's someone goes to the gym and they ultimately want to perform better. So it's just subconsciously you weed out the things that hold you back. No one has to say anything to you. Normally you do it on your own. So I mean that's the best advice you can give anybody is just take baby steps. But I mean, I think that even ties back, going back to golf in general, right? Everyone wants to go out there and they just want to they assume they're just gonna crush the ball and kill it. I don't know about you, but I started off, I didn't have a driver. I was like, I'm not hitting a driver because I'm horrible at it. I was hitting irons off the tee box. You know, I have some buddies, oh, you know, they kind of poke fun at you because you're not hitting your driver, but they're the ones losing balls in the woods, you know. And my theory and logic to that was if I hit 3 7-irons at 170 yards, I'm going to get to the green instead of you doing a drop and taking a penalty shot and getting there with these rough shots and awkward, you know. Yeah, it's smart play instead of trying to have an ego on the course. But like I said, it's all baby steps. I worked my way up. I just got a driver actually last week, and it worked out well. I only lost maybe 2 balls on 18 holes, which is great. So looking at that, I mean, if you had advice to give a beginner golfer, brand new, I'm assuming that's most of our audience is, you know, new golfers. What would you say, you know, would you go in with the mentality of just try everything, or what's your piece of advice starting off on playing a course, not so much practice regimen, like you walk out there, you have your buddies, what would you do? What would your plan of attack be for that day?
Brand new golfer. I mean, dude, if that new golfer was in North Carolina, I would say go to Pinehurst and hang out and play the cradle, because that thing is built for non-golfers. It's like the longest hole is 127 yards and it's made to have fun. You can keep score if you want, not keep score, and just hang out. If I'm giving advice to anybody else in the rest of the world, most people, I would say, God, I mean, I'm competitive, so I couldn't do this, but I would say don't keep score just right. Because you're out there to try to learn how to hit the ball. And prior to playing golf, just go spend a ton of time on the driving range. Just go out, hit balls, hit 1,000 balls. It's like going to the gym, right? You're not going to go enter your first CrossFit competition or like go into a DT workout or try to do Murph and beat your buddies with no prior experience. Go like work out the kinks on the driving range and then take it to the course would be my like number one suggestion. But if you've already done that and you're just playing golf, I would say don't keep score, because that is that turns a lot of people off, I think.
Yeah, the pressure, and then they see their score and it just they don't come back. But I will say, I mean, I've seen it where you go to the driving range, you hit stripes, right? Or you think you're hitting, you know, good balls, you go to the course, it just doesn't play out that way.
I'll quit. I will stop playing. If I'm just by myself or with like one of my buddies that is also playing bad, I'll just be like, bro, we are both just practicing bad shots right now. Let's just go to the driving range. Like, and I'm very lucky. I play a lot of private courses, so I don't have to technically pay for a round of golf. So I'm able to do that and just stop in the middle and say, all right, well, we're just going to go back to the driving range. Mm-hmm. But like, even if it means you're on the course and you're dropping 2 and 3 or more balls and just practicing the dip. If it's not holding a pace of play, you drop like a couple of different balls and hit that shot again, just gain confidence and know that you can hit it.
Yeah, that's actually, I took a practice lesson on the course with my instructor last Friday and we did the same thing. You miss a shot, he's like, no, drop another one, hit it. And I will say that your confidence goes up quite a bit knowing you can hit the shot.
Yeah, and I would also say find a coach like you have and get some lessons. I mean, that's not what you want to do out the gates, because your swing's going to be trash and they're just going to try to build you from the ground up. If you're going to go out there and play a couple times and figure it out after you've got the bug, because you will catch the bug if you have any sort of competitive bone in your body, get a lesson, find a PGA pro, find the pro at the course near you, or find somebody on one of the social apps that you can do virtual stuff with. Like, that's been so good because my buddy Alex, who helps me, he's a PGA pro, Alex Riggs, on Instagram, he is like an amazing instructor. He's caddying and working with one of his students on the European tour right now. They just played the Portugal Masters, Portuguese Masters, and they're somewhere else in Portugal right now. But being able to work with him, and he's based in Dubai, right, has been amazing.
That is, I never thought, I mean, I've seen those Facebook groups you follow, some instructors that are here in the US, but I followed Riggs. I think he's amazing, but that alone, getting the instruction, I got instruction after 2 weeks. I played maybe four rounds, not keeping score. And I was like, all right, I'm in, I'm all in. I'm like, I'm super competitive. If I'm not winning, I'm upset. That's kind of a downfall. So yeah, man. But I mean, I agree, getting that, those lessons and just grinding away and practice time. I mean, do you prefer practice or play? I try to practice 3 times a week, not a lot, like 20 to 30 minutes, but I try to play once a week.
Yeah. You know, I love, just going to the range and just hitting balls. And just, cause I'm like working on my swing right now. Like I have a lot to fix and I love going to the range and just figuring it out and doing a little FaceTime call with Alex while I'm there and making sure that he's like seeing what I'm seeing. And he's like, all right, we'll just try this. Like cup your wrist a little bit, or sending a video to Scott Stallman when I'm on the range. Between him and Alex Riggs, I'm going to be on tour here. I'm going to be on the Champions Tour of 2045. So, but yeah, I mean, I love going to the range, but then if I'm playing well and I'm playing with I hate playing with myself. And a lot of times lately, I've just been playing with myself and then my buddy Tyler, who's a photographer and shoots a lot of my stuff. If it's just us, like I get bored. So I'm like, God, this kind of sucks. I want to go I got to do something else.
Yeah.
I can work out by myself, but at least then with CrossFit, I have a time that I'm trying to beat. Like I know I do CrossFit Krypton workouts out of Chesapeake, Virginia. Yep. And Blueprint. So I know what Adam Klink's and Ben's times are. So I'm like, well, dang, I got to get there. So I'm trying to beat them. So it's different with golf. It's I don't like playing myself because I don't have anybody to try to beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I don't like playing myself either. I've done it. It's just not the same. There's no pressure. That's awesome. You follow Krypton. Shout out to Ben Smith, that guy, new dad as well. So yeah. rocking the dad bod fitness.
Alex, Adam just said he and I expecting their second.
Whoa. Big news right there.
Adam just did the under 5 minute mile. He ran a 4:56 mile and back squatted 500 pounds in the same day.
I saw that. I remember when CrossFit said one day you'll be able to see a guy run a sub 5 minute and back squat 500. And everyone was like, that's not going to happen. And it just, that's a huge milestone. That's awesome.
This week.
Oh, really? That's awesome, man. Those guys. Love Ben Smith, one of my favorite athletes. I saw you interviewed Josh Bridges, by the way. I haven't listened to that one yet, but man,
yeah. That
looks like it's going to be awesome. That dude, I used to go to Invictus for a while. So I used to see him come in and never talk to him, obviously, because you're kind of starstruck as this is back when he was regionals. But yeah, dude's a monster. He's just awesome.
He's a pretty good golfer too. I'm trying to convince him because he's a professional athlete. I am definitely not. I just have the person being one with supplements and stuff. But he and I are both sponsored by X Endurance. So I was talking to the guys at X Endurance, which if you want to know what supplements I use, people ask all the time. It's X Endurance. And I use everything. But we were talking about it and I was like, dude, we should get me and old Josh Bridges in Scottsdale and do a money game, for some serious money, because he's super competitive and one of the best athletes in the world. I'm super competitive and not one of the best. It would be funny to see just two average golfers who are super competitive and one of whom is the best CrossFitter in the world, arguably, next to Franny and those guys. compete with me, whatever, $1,000.
That would be amazing. That would be, you'd have to video that whole thing. That couldn't just be a podcast.
It would definitely be like, it would be on Josh's channel, or it would be, it would live somewhere.
That would be, even if you got Josh and Froni, the two dudes coffee verse, or just that, dude, that'd be amazing. Just a quick scramble. People would probably pay to see that.
We're working on it. I'm working on it.
Oh man. Inside information right there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So real quick, I kind of have this as, I want to make this a recurring segment. So I want to talk about gear. And I know that's, it's a topic everyone's like reviewing things, but I don't want to go in the terms of review, just your feel on what people play. I'm just always curious on how that pans out person to person. Cause I see a difference all across. Some people are loyal to brands. You know, some people try new things. I don't care what brand I play, whatever feels good to me. So I guess first question is, what ball do you play? Is there a reason why you play it, or is it just you like it?
Right now I play the Vice Pro. I like it because it's similar to the Titleist Pro V1, which I was playing before. And I did a ball fitting with Titleist I guess it was 2 years ago. No, it was last year because it was the new Pro V1. So I did a ball fitting, like you do a club fitting, and they told me that I got fit into the Pro V1. Obviously, it's the most expensive ball on the market.
Of course.
So I play the Vice Pro, the Vice Pro Soft. Yeah, the Vice Pro Soft. It's similar to the Pro V1. It's a little softer off the face. I like the way it feels off the face. But it's like $20 a dozen.
Yep. Yeah, I play the Vice Pro. Stumbled across them. I thought it was cheap. And I read a lot of reviews, and it's comparable to the Titleist, like you said. And I've switched up a couple balls. I keep going back to that. I don't feel like I'm good enough to notice, but I do notice on the greens, I don't get backspin on any other ball but the Vice Pro Plus.
So yeah.
It's pretty interesting. So that's cool, man. So what about, you talk about club fitting. So what's your club choice in terms of brand? Did you get fit? Obviously, you must have. And can you talk about what's your bag makeup?
So I have a Jones Golf bag. I love it. It's awesome. It's very light. You can walk with it. You can put it on the cart. It's great. I highly recommend Jones. And I like it because it's like minimalist. Like you see a lot of the bags that have like all this branding on it, and I don't like that stuff. Yep. So I play that. As far as brands go, a lot of people are brand loyal. If a brand approached me and said, Blair, we want you to play our clubs, I would do that 100%. Until then, I think that being brand loyal to one manufacturer is utterly stupid. Because it's very, 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 very unlikely that one manufacturer is going to make everything in your bag that suits you best. So if you're getting, I was fit for my irons, and they're Titleist irons, right? So you buy your irons in a set if you're a new golfer. Mine are, I have a 4-through pitching wedge. I also got fit for my wedges from Vokey, Titleist wedges. So my irons and wedges are Titleist. They're great. They're awesome. I got fit for them. Love them. My driver is a Cobra Speed Zone. My 3-wood is a Cobra F9. So last year's 3-wood. And then my hybrid, which changes in and out consistently because I can't hit that club, is right now it's a Titleist H18 hybrid, but sometimes it's a Ping, sometimes it's a, let's see, I'm going to play PXG. So it just varies.
That's interesting, man. Same with you. I can't hit my hybrid. I just got the Titleist TS2 fitted and everything, new shaft, and I just can't. I just go back to the 3-iron. I'm like, I'll just hit this 3-iron. I hit that way better. Supposedly it's harder to hit a 3-iron. Not for me. I don't know why. Just –
yeah,
hybrid, man. They talk about how it's supposed to be easier, more forgiving. Yeah, no, not for me. But that's interesting. Yeah. So, last thought on gear. Obviously, going back to kind of fitness and diet. What snacks, if any, do you keep in your bag, man, to keep you over during the course? 18 holes, 36 holes, whatever you're playing. Do you stash snacks in your bag to snack on or bring stuff with you?
Yeah. So I choose to. I either have a dip in or I chew CBD gum on the course. I'm always drinking water. I have a big Yeti bottle that's like 48 ounces that I drink, and I'll have like three of those on the course. I typically have like protein bars or like organic like protein bars in my bag. I'll usually pack nuts it depends on what time of day I play, right? If I play in the mornings, I'm obviously going to get up, have my normal breakfast, get going, and I probably won't need anything until like lunchtime, because I don't like eating on the course because it spikes your blood sugar and then I get like all antsy. Smart, not good. So I try to keep like whatever I eat. I don't eat a lot of carbs on the course because it will spike your blood sugar. And I'm like, this is just me being a weird like fitness geek. So I try not to eat carbs on the course because it spikes your blood sugar. So even if I get like something at the turn, I'll just eat like two hot dogs and not eat the buns or something. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I don't know. I just try to keep it like very fat heavy, nuts, almonds, cashews, pistachios, stuff like that.
That's smart, man. I'm with you. I get the beef jerky. I'm always riding with the beef jerky in the bag.
Yeah. I just found, if you have a Costco near you, they have this like pork jerky. It's pork bacon jerky. Oof. It is so good.
I'm gonna have to look for that. We got a Costco around the corner. Pork bacon jerky. That sounds delicious. Got the fats and the protein all in there. It's everything you need.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Exactly.
All right. So last question before I let you go, man, I appreciate your time so if you had to choose, obviously you lived on the West Coast, lived on the East Coast. You had to pick where you want to play golf for the next year. Where would it be? East or West?
Current political climate?
No political climate involved. Just pure golf.
Oh man. There's so much golf to play here.
I know, man. You guys got Tobacco Road, which I keep looking. Man, that place looks amazing. And Pine Ridge. Yeah, just so much good stuff.
Just in North Carolina, right? So I'm from the Carolinas originally, and we moved back because we wanted to be closer to our family. And like my wife and I met Huntington Beach, California. So love the West Coast, love California, love Orange County, but I hate Point of Grass. So probably choose East Coast just because there's so much golf to be played, right? Like, even here in North Carolina, I live next door. I play Porter's Neck Country Club, which is next door to me. It's a, you said Tobacco Road. I'm thinking Mike Strantz. It's not a Strantz. I can't remember right now. But have that one right here. I have Eagle Point right across the street where they played the 2017 Wells Fargo Championship, which is a great course. You have Kiowa, you have Hilton Head, you have Bulls Bay, which is a private course in Charleston. And if you like Tobacco Road, look up Bulls Bay Golf Club in Charleston. It's in Onondaga, South Carolina.
You're just surrounded.
Pinehurst, and you have Tobacco Road, you have Pine Valley, there's so much golf here. Stream Song in Florida, Trump National in Florida, you have so much golf to play on the East Coast. It's great golf to play. So I'm choosing the East Coast.
That's awesome, man. That's good to know. Funny, your wife's from Huntington. That's where I was born, is Huntington Beach, West
Virginia. Well, she's actually from Virginia, and we met in Huntington Beach.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, man.
That's East Coast was home.
That's awesome. All right, man. I appreciate your time. I know you got a family to get to. I gotta actually get back to my real job and work. But dude, this is great. I really appreciate it. This is awesome. Very insightful, dude. If you guys have not listened to any of Blair Wheeler's podcast, Golfing Now, I highly suggest it. Awesome dude. Talks about a lot of good information. There's a lot of good people on there. Just listen to the Margo Alvarez one as well. Super cool podcast. Also follow him on Instagram, Blair Wheeler at Blair Wheeler. Shout out to your photo guy. Great photos, by the way. He takes some awesome photos. So thanks again, man. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the No Shanks Given podcast today. It was a great episode. If you liked what you heard today, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button and be on the lookout for more episodes every Friday. Thanks again. You guys have a good one.